Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul. Wednesday, May the 5th, 2021, and I'm so glad you're here tonight. I want to speak into your life. In fact, I want God to speak into your life with this word from Psalm 23 that I think will be some eye-opening revelation to you. So listen closely. Let's begin by prayer. Father, we honor your presence. You're invisible, but you're here. We acknowledge you. You will direct us and lead us in the way we're to go. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go right into Psalm 23. Tonight we're on verse 5 of Psalm 23. So Psalm 23, verses 1 through 5. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now here's the key verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Verse 5. I could title this message, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? But more specifically, I want to establish in your heart and mind an understanding that God is setting the table for you. He is setting a table for you. I'm not talking about when you go to heaven or the marriage feast of the Lamb. I'm talking about here and now on this earth. David, who himself was a shepherd of sheep, when God called him to become the king, wrote this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he had insights into sheep and shepherds that you couldn't have any other way unless you were one. And so David is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he is led by the Lord to write this verse 5 that says, God is preparing or setting a table before you right now in the presence of your enemies. Again, that's not in heaven. That's now. But you have to go through some things first. Just like the chronology of Psalm 23, after you go on the path of righteousness, after you go through the valley of the shadow of death, after you go through some things in life, God has a place where he wants to honor you. Yeah, God wants to honor you. In fact, it works like this. You can't outgive God, and you can't out-honor God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, God himself says, those who honor me, I will honor. And he's talking about now here in this life. If you honor God privately, devote yourself to prayer, and you do the things out of obedience that the Spirit of the Lord is leading you to do, you honor God that way, God honors you publicly. You can see that in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, when you go in your prayer closet, you shut the door and there's no one there but you and God, and you pray privately unto the Lord, God says he'll reward you publicly. And he says the exact same thing again about giving. When you give and you don't try to draw attention to yourself, but you're just honoring God out of fear of the Lord and love of the Lord, when you're honoring God privately, God says he'll reward you publicly. And one of those ways he likes to do it, he likes to prepare a table before you in the presence of the people who hate you the most, your enemies. God wants to honor you in front of them. Now, keep in mind, David wrote this psalm. So he had experience that God drew from, his life experience, as he penned Psalm 23 by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Remember, David was a young boy, and he had seven brothers. His father was named Jesse. One day, his father Jesse got a message that Samuel the prophet, who was the most famous man in Israel during that time, it'd be like meeting Billy Graham. He gets a note from Samuel saying, "I'm coming to your house. I have a message from the Lord for you and for your boys, for your sons. And I'll tell you that when I get there." So it's going to be a big day. So Jesse pulls out all the stops, and he just has a big banquet prepared for his guest of honor. Prophet Samuel's going to show up at this particular time. Well, Samuel shows up, and it's a big to-do, and there's a big table, big banquet feast is going on. It's a rare privilege to have the prophet Samuel in your own house, especially when he comes delivering a message from the Lord, a personal message. And so this is in the little town of Bethlehem, the place where Jesus was born, the town of David. And so Samuel, after the meal, Samuel says to Jesse, he says, "The Lord has instructed me to come to your house to anoint one of your sons to be the next king of Israel. I don't know who it is yet." And you say you have seven sons and they're all here. "Let each one pass before me and maybe the Spirit of the Lord will tell me which one." So one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they pass before Samuel. And Samuel, who's used to hearing the voice of God clearly, doesn't hear a thing. He doesn't, no, not a thing. And he's puzzled. "Now, God, I know I heard clearly from you to go to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem, and you're going to anoint one of his sons." Jesse says to Samuel, "Jesse, is this all your sons, or do you have any more?" And Jesse's embarrassed by the question, because indeed he did have another son. And his youngest son, David, was not invited to this banquet. Instead, he was told to stay out in the field and stay with his sheep. Now, normally a hired servant would have done that. So there has to be more to this story here. We got to do a little detective work. We don't have all the facts, but we get some little pieces from other places in Scripture that show us really what might have been going on. And there's a possibility. I can't prove it for sure, but there is a possibility that David could have been the illegitimate child of Jesse and maybe a Canaanite woman or some other woman besides the wife who had the other seven sons. And maybe Jesse was a little embarrassed about David. And certainly if Samuel the prophet's coming to anoint one of his sons, he didn't want it to be the son of an illegitimate situation. But we don't know that for sure. But look at this. It's interesting. In Psalm 69, verse 8, David wrote this psalm, Psalm 69, verse 8. He says, "I have become estranged by my relatives and a foreigner to my mother's children." So he was like a stepchild that wasn't wanted. He had opposition from his brothers. His seven brothers rejected him for some reason. And there's no apparent reason that we could see than possibility that maybe he was only a half-brother to them and the half-brothers of David didn't care for him. Then he goes on to say in the same psalm, Psalm 69 in verse 12, he said, "Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of drunkards." It's possible that David was an illegitimate child of Jesse, and Jesse was embarrassed about it. The town knew about it, and David was possibly ridiculed not only by his half-brothers and not wanted, rejected by them because he didn't have the same mother, but possibly the people in the city called him the bastard child. He's that illegitimate child of Jesse when he had that affair. So Jesse is obviously embarrassed by Prophet Samuel asking him a question. "Is this all the sons you have? Do you have any other?" And he admits, "Well, I do have one more. He's out in the field with the sheep right now, keeping the sheep." And Samuel says, "Bring him in." And the moment young David walks into the house, the Spirit of the Lord said to Samuel, "He's the one. Anoint him. He's my choice to be the next king of Israel." So Samuel, not knowing all the situation, the whys of why he wasn't there like the rest of the brothers, Samuel just says, "David,
young David, guess what? The Spirit of the Lord told me to anoint you. You're the next king of Israel. Well, he's astounded and shocked, and his brothers are shocked. His father is shocked, and anybody in the household would have been shocked. And basically, Samuel says, you know this table here, this feast? It's for you, David. The Lord prepared this table for you. And where is it? Right there in the presence of his enemies, his brothers who had rejected him. All of his life, he gets promoted. He is promoted. He's going to be the next king of Israel. Now, when you're called by God to do something, and once God anoints you to do something, it may be a while before you actually do it or become it. And it was years later before David actually became king. He was just a young boy. And you know the series of events that got him there, killing Goliath and getting King Saul's daughter as his wife and all that. But the point is this, is that when God calls us and anoints us to do something, there may be a space in between where God is growing our character during that time. And we learn to allow God to work in situations in our life so our character can match the anointing. The high calling that God has called us to has got to be matched with the character to go with it. Otherwise, there'll be some tremendous failures in this life. And we see that all the time. We see it particularly with people who are very, very talented, very, very gifted at singing or music or maybe preaching or ministry, and they just have a gift, obviously. And yet, when their character flaws start to show up in their life, it can actually destroy their ministry credibility. So God is very interested in character. Our character is being grown to match the anointing in which we are to carry. So it was years later before David, he became king. And so here in this house, his own house, there is this table that God has prepared before David in the presence of his enemies. And I want to say something to you, and I want you to listen closely. God wants to do the same thing for you. Yeah. He wants to honor you. How you have honored God privately, God has plans to honor you publicly with some kind of promotion, whether in the kingdom of God or even in the natural world. You're going to come out of obscurity and be noticed somewhere because of the anointing that God gives you because you've honored him. You walk in the fear of the Lord. And so David also wrote after this in Psalm 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Obviously, David was overwhelmed with this goodness and mercy and grace of God upon his life. And us in the same way, we are able to say, my cup overflows. It's overflowing because of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. And us in the new covenant, you know, David didn't realize all that he was being given that day, being anointed as king. He anointed his head. Samuel anointed his head with oil, anointed him the next king. David had no idea what to expect and could not understand all that was being given to him by God. And in the same way, when you and I get saved, we're brought into a new covenant with God. We have no idea, really, all the things that come in this new covenant with us. We just think we're getting forgiven of our sin. We just think that we're going to heaven when we die. There's so much more in this covenant that God wants to unpack for us. The example is in Psalm 25, verse 14. It says, God will make known to the one who fears the Lord, who honors the Lord. God will make known to him his covenant. And I would say to you that God wants to unpack some things that he gave you on the day of your spiritual birth that you have not discovered yet. He wants you to discover there's so much more to this new covenant of salvation than just getting forgiven. There's so much more. Jesus said we could have life and have it abundantly. And so God has things for you. Now, if you'll honor God and make that the priority of your life, I'm going to honor God privately. I'm not doing it to be seen. I'm not doing it for earthly recognition. I know, according to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, if you honor God, God will honor you. in some way, somehow, God is going to get you noticed by somebody. He's going to put you in places you could never get on your own. He's going to put you before people that you would never be able to get to on your own, all because there's an anointing on you, and he wants to use your life. And so he's going to bring you out of obscurity. Maybe you don't want to be noticed. You're not looking for that attention. I understand. But God wants to use your life to make a difference in somebody else. Somebody's got to notice the light of Christ in you. So God wants to use your life. I want to close with two questions. I found these two questions this past week in a book, and not the Bible, but a book I was reading. And these two questions really penetrated my soul to say, you need to put on the brakes and stop and really think before you answer these questions, because you'll give a quick answer and you really need to ponder it. And here's the two questions. Well, the one question, I'm just going to give you one. One question is this: are you willing for God to use you for his purposes on this earth, or are you using God for your purposes? Now, don't give a quick answer. In fact, take that question, write it down. I'll say it again. You ought to write it down and take it to your prayer closet. Talk to God about it. Are you willing to let God use you for his purposes, or are you using God for your purposes, or wanting to use God? Something to think about. Take it to prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to talk to you. He wants to lead you. He will lead you. Talk to him. Ask him questions, and then be still and wait for his answers. Get a little notebook. Write things down. Keep a record of what you believe God is saying to you. I have a black ink pen and a red ink pen. I write down my questions to God or situations I want to talk to God about in black ink. And then I use a red ink pen as I wait for God's reply, and I write down in red what I believe he's saying to me or showing me. And I have a record of that. And I go through every once in a while, and I review. Usually I review every day. I review the previous day. What did he say to me? Because I want to remember these things. Listen, preaching is not my main job. As a pastor, my job is to be a shepherd that will help the sheep learn how to follow the shepherd and hear the shepherd, for themselves. It's one thing to hear me. It's another thing to hear God for yourself. I can tell you sometimes what God has said from his word, but it's more important for you to listen for the voice of God inside you, where the Holy Spirit lives when you're born again. So take this question to heart. Go before the Lord and be still and listen and make any adjustments you have to make, because God loves you. He's going to help you. He wants to lead you. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray now that it'll go right to the right spot, the right person who needs to hear it the most. And I thank you that it will not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. I look forward to seeing you this Sunday. It's Mother's Day. Your mother is still here on earth. Be sure to honor her. Honor all women. And that's what we do on Mother's Day here at church. We look forward to seeing you then. And until then, God bless you.